If you would all join me in prayer, opening in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We ask that you would give us wisdom and understanding to your word this evening, Father. Guide us all, the Holy Spirit, to be in us and to help us respond and retain your scripture, Father. And we just ask all of this for your in your honor and glory, for your honor and glory. We ask and pray all this in our Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, picking up where we left off last week was the first week I was back from missing a few weeks, and we are still working on, and we'll get through this, these four keywords in Proverbs that I've committed to do. We've gone through wisdom, and we are somewhat in the middle of understanding, so I'd like to do a quick summary. Just to keep us all in connected to where we're at, so as everyone gets involved and the Holy Spirit leads you, it'll be a little more fresher. So I will read a couple of verses that I've already read several times, but it's just a summary, just summarizing and bringing us all back into it and then moving forward. So in wisdom, Proverbs 4:7. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. Let's see, what else do I have here? Wisdom. Wisdom is the fear of the Lord and reverential awe, respect and humble submission, authority of the all-wise God. Amen. In practicality, a wise man or woman, and or woman, will live a life that honors an all-wise God. So, those are in the wisdom, and I have one for understanding. Instructions. Instructions is the authoritative teaching, creation, and training in righteousness derived from the all-wise God. It is designed to mature believers and guide them in holy living. So that's our summary of the two subject keywords that we've been working on. We're still going to be in instructions. I have verses left from last week, and we left off. We were about to. Pete was up, and we closed because it was prayer time, ran out of time. So Pete reminded me. Thank you, brother, for that. And so Pete, if you would, I'd like to hand out some verses and. You still have record of what I assigned you last week?
Somewhere in Proverbs.
Okay, that's good. Proverbs 8, chapter 8, please.
That was close. I was in there.
Yes, you were very close. Verses 10 and 11. And if I could just continue on before you start.
Yep.
You were sitting there yesterday, last week, right? Okay, so Phyllis, you're next. And did I give you Proverbs also, chapter 8, 32 and 33? Okay. And then Brian, I believe I gave you Proverbs chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. Al, Proverbs 15, chapter 15, verses 28 to 33, please. Marty? Proverbs chapter 19, verses 22-23. Ray, Proverbs 19, verse 27. Rob, Proverbs 23, verse 12. Joyce, Proverbs 23, verse 23, 24, 25, and 26. And let's see, what do we get next here? Proverbs 24:32, please. And I'm out of verses.
What was the last one you gave?
The last one I gave was Proverbs
24:32.
Okay. So I really owe one, two,
You're
three
fine.
More verses.
Yeah.
Okay.
If it's possible, whoever's going to be reading as they read, would you please just announce again what you're going to be reading so we can all
follow?
That's a good idea.
Yeah, you have to
appreciate that.
Hesitate a little bit so they can get to it.
Yes, that's a good idea.
Read it and then hesitate.
Fantastic. So I can record it properly.
Okay, everybody's happy.
Everybody?
Pete, you want to start it off?
Yep. Proverbs 8:10-11. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it.
Okay. Thank you, Pete. Very good. That's a great verse, 10 and 11. Receive my instructions. So, any comments on that? Anyone want to give input? What they get out of that? What that says to you, or what it means to you?
Sorry, that was me.
Well, we all love silver and gold, right? Everybody loves a little silver and gold, but I think instruction and knowledge is a lot better than silver and gold, is what that's saying in 10. The same kind of similar in 11, right? Wisdom is better than rubies. So it's like, what is that? What is that verse? The things of the world, do not love the things of the world, right? And that's so often what we do, right? But he's telling us here that don't love the things of the world, love the things of God, because you'll get instruction, you'll get knowledge, you'll get wisdom. And all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her being wisdom, right? So I think that's what it's saying. Don't fall in love with the things of the world. Fall in love with the things of God, and then you'll receive. It's like seek ye first the kingdom, right? And all these things will be added unto you, right?
Right. That's good. Thank you, brother. Anyone else have anything?
It kind of goes along with what Rich said, but the last stanza in verse 11, and all the things that you may desire cannot compare with her, and that's wisdom. All the things, worldly things, fleshly things.
We desire so much, don't we?
We can only desire so much, and it doesn't compare.
Mm-hmm. Basically priceless.
Mm-hmm.
Reminds me of a verse that can't serve God and money.
Mm. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, that was something you preached on. That was really good.
You know, you think of, like, I know I mentioned this before, but like when I was teaching, you think of that song, right? Looking for love in all the wrong places, right? And that's so often what we're doing, right? Searching for love in all the wrong places. And whatever the wrong place, you can put whatever you want there. If it's not God, it's the wrong place. Right.
Right.
So how would you do that in a practical way?
Practical way.
I'm looking at these verses. Receive my instruction. That would be standing in or reading before the good Lord in his word.
Mm-hmm.
But then verses silver and gold, just the material things. How would you, in a practical way, say, all right, I'm going to go and spend time getting instruction instead of almost looks like wasting my time with silver and gold? How would you, in a practical way, would you do that?
Yeah, and I think in relating to that, Brother, that's a good good points there. We all can relate to it in other things that we may do, not necessarily bad things, but other things that we put our time, our mind, our hearts into. Those are things of the world, and again, not to repeat myself, they're not specifically or need to be bad things. They're just not things. Well, they are things. They're not God's wisdom. They're not God's instructions. If they're not God's scripture and his word and his knowledge, then that's what this verse says to me. In other words, say you were a coin collector or a property collector or something. You're putting a lot of your time and your effort, your energy in these things that are not wisdom, that are not instructions, that is not from Scripture. So the example of silver and gold is just, as you would say, metaphorically speaking, it's just as an example of worldly valuable things versus our Lord and Savior's wisdom and instructions.
If you've got your mind on the Lord, don't make silver and gold, material things, an idol.
Right.
And you've got to be very, very careful with that, because there's a lot of people that make idols out of things, whether they be Christian or not Christian. It's something that God designed mankind to have a worship within them. And we have to worship the right thing. Mm-hmm. He is the preeminent one. And if he's the preeminent one, then any time that takes away from his being with him, you've got to weigh very carefully. And so it doesn't become silver and gold.
That's a great point. Thank you for that input. Brother Brian.
Jesus said something very jarring in Luke, where he says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father, mother, wife, and children, that's tough, right? Now, of course, he doesn't really want you to hate your parents, right? But how he puts it, he even says hating your own life. Right? And he says, if you don't do that, you can't be my disciple. Like, Christ puts it, like, really stark. Like, this is ultimate. And then when we read that proverb, that it says there, all desirable things, right? So, riches, gold, what you said, it could be, things aren't bad, but right. Jobs, it could be family, all of those desirable things that you want can't compare to God's wisdom.
That's right.
It can't.
And they shouldn't be put before it either.
Yeah, shouldn't be put before it, and it's not even something that you look at and go, you know.
Right. No comparison.
We've got to train our hearts to realize the value of God's wisdom.
Yes.
And sometimes I think we just brush it off. We shouldn't brush it off. And I mean our hearts, not our minds. Love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart.
Well, people, it's normal human nature to put their security in their money or their material things than the Lord. Until they learn about the Lord and realize that the only security you do have is through the Lord. Not materialistic things. You cannot serve two masters, like it says. Either you serve money or you serve the Lord. And that's how the world is split right now, because if you don't know the Lord, you're serving money. You're serving everything. The only security you have is what you have. You don't realize it's nothing. It's do whatever they call it in Scripture.
Okay. Anyone else, before we go on to the next verse, have any input or thoughts on this last verse?
Well, you have to ask the question practically. How did you ask that question?
How do you practically put this into action?
Into this perspective action. And we all have things that we have to do all day long. But as long as we prioritize what we need to do, and after each chore is done, even praise the Lord that He gave me the strength to do it. Mm-hmm. So as long as you're keeping the Lord in your day, mm-hmm. the Lord will go before me, type of scripture type thing. We do have to provide security for us, for people. We have to eat, you have to shop, you have to do a lot of daily things. But as long as you're putting God first, those are not desires, they're things that need to be done.
Right, necessities.
So, necessities, desires. That's, desires and necessities are two different things.
Right.
And that's what I think the verse is saying.
But the thing is, you have to weigh it. A lot of times, what you think is a necessity may not be a necessity. It's something that you've developed that it's a necessity.
There's a difference between want and need.
Yeah. And what you're saying is, God is the preeminent.
Right.
What does it say in 1 Thessalonians? Pray without ceasing.
Mm-hmm.
It means it's the constant dependence on God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you make me think, I was thinking of Dr. Cook, who has Walk with the King, right, mm-hmm. on 104.9. He's gone home to be with the Lord, but they still play a show. But he always says, pray your way through the day.
Mm-hmm.
So you think of just like even if you're in the grocery store doing what you see as a necessity, right, there could be somebody in the aisle that's crying and weeping, and next thing you know, you're reaching out and to find
right.
out what's going on,
yeah.
and then you're praying with that person. So your mind is constantly fixed on the Lord, right?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously we have distractions and whatnot, but you think of like what he says, pray your way through the day. You think of like Enoch, right? Enoch walked with God, he was no more, but where is Enoch, right? He's in heaven, right? But you think about that, like we try to have our mind fixed on things above and not things of the earth, right? And that's what we're trying to do. Now, obviously, this world is, you turn on the news and within 5 minutes you could totally be distracted and caught up in the things of the world, right?
Right. And don't forget to thank Him for the things that you are able to do.
Amen, right.
Or He gave you safe travel.
Praise Him, thank Him, right? So there's so many different ways to pray your way through the day, right? Could be praise, could be prayer, could be, reaching out to somebody, whatever, redeeming the time. And
but He's in all of it. It's a circle.
Exactly. He's in the center.
Very good. Thank you. Before we go on to the next verse, my apologies. I overlooked part of the lesson layout that I had here, and it isn't too late. So I'm going to read a couple of things here that's related to our four key words. And there's going to be four specific questions that I'm going to ask you all to consider, to either make mental notes yourself or write down these questions for you to kind of meditate and think on. So at the end of our study, you will be able to, throughout the weeks to come, and you'll be able to look into this, read on it, and respond as we're at our studies. I think it'll be very helpful for all of us, and so I'd like to share that. So I'm going to start a few questions here, and then I have four in a row. So I'll read them fairly slow, and I'll pause so that if someone does choose to take notes, they'll have that opportunity. Why are we studying the four key words, and what is the goal of studying these four key words, and the purpose of studying these words so the answer is, the purpose of this, to study these four key words, is so that we can apply them to our everyday life. So these, this here, I'm gonna just, now these are the four specific questions. They're much shorter than that. The first one is, how does wisdom relate to instructions? The second one is, how does instructions relate to understanding? The third one is, how does wisdom and instructions and understanding relate to knowledge? And the fourth and last one is, how does these four key words apply to our everyday lives? Miss Phyllis, if you're ready, if you would please take your verse.
Sure. Okay, it's Proverbs 8:32-33. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. I think there's two important words there, listen and hear. You have to listen and hear, and faith comes by hearing.
Could you repeat that again, please, Joyce?
Well, there's two words that stand out to me. Listen, therefore listen to me. And then verse 33 says, hear instructions and be wise. So you have to listen and hear.
And refuse it not.
Instruction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And do not disdain it, is how mine is.
Don't neglect it. Yeah.
Don't neglect it.
Any input or thoughts, sayings on this? A lot, some good things in here. Children for closer they keep.
Kind of going back to the previous chapter, verses 2, I have this little section I've written about, now therefore listen to me, my children. And it says, this section is the epilogue of the chapter 8 hymn of praise. It calls everyone to listen. Wisdom offers blessing and life to those who heed her, but cursing and death to those who hate her. Wisdom's gracious invitation is more desirable than anything, and an invitation to a blessed life.
Thank you, Rich.
You're welcome. just think about when it says all good things come from above, right? And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to have good things. You think about even going back to, like, you know, you're thinking about things of the world, right? It's not a bad thing to own stuff, right? Toys and stuff like that. But if you don't have the money and you're going out and buying something that you can't afford, and then you're burying yourself in debt, that's not a good thing. Or if you do have money and you're buying toys just because
you can,
you know, you buy a boat and it sits in your backyard and just makes your neighbors jealous, but you never actually use it, is that really a good investment, right? No, that's a terrible investment. So it's not, you're not spending your money wisely, right? You're not using the things that God gave you, you're not using them wisely.
Right.
You know, those things that are, you know, so it's not always bad to own stuff, but, you know, you have to be able to afford it and you have to be able to use it.
If you went down one more verse, 34, it's blessed is the man who listens to me.
Amen.
And it kind of goes with hear, listen, and you'll be blessed.
And you think it says too, it says watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. And you kind of think about praying your way through the day, mm-hmm. right? You know, you think about just constantly doing our best to have our mind on the things of the Lord, right? It's, you know.
Do children listen?
Huh?
Yes.
Sometimes.
They don't hear.
You know, I think it's Charles Stanley. I haven't listened to him for a while, but he'll, in the middle of his teaching, he'll say, now listen.
Yeah, yeah.
And always, it's like he hesitates, listen. So you grasp it, what's going on in the scriptures. Listen and don't refuse it.
Right.
And a lot of times what happens, we think 1,000 times faster than someone speaking. We've got to keep our mind on what we're hearing.
Mm. Listen with obedience.
Children don't do that a lot of times. And he's said several times he's calling us children here.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to get into the habit, the discipline of listening and not thinking about, am I going to burn the roast?
I just did that.
No, that was rice.
Oh, it was rice. Roast rice.
Do I give it two ears in one mouth?
And Rob paid for it.
Yeah, I cleaned the pan.
Well, James 1:19 says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen,
mm-hmm.
slow to speak, and slow to become angry.
Mm-hmm.
We're all the opposite.
Yeah.
Don't even start.
All right, I'll speak for myself.
Okay. Well, I'll say what Brian was saying. Well, I want to continue on. Brian was mentioning here about children listening. They might not listen, but they do read. And they read the adults very well.
Mm-hmm.
They're watching all the time. They're up, you know, when they're awake. And they probably grasp more mm-hmm. in their minds, whatever age they might be. But I'm thinking here in 2 Timothy, when Paul wrote to Timothy, he says in chapter 3, verse 14, we brought up this verse last week, one of them anyways. He says, you, however, continue in the things you have learned. And how did you learn? Well, you studied scripture, because Paul goes on to say, and become convinced of knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the sacred writing which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. 17, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And if you're resting in the Lord and asking him, putting it on his lap, what is it you want from me, Lord? And wait on him. He always will answer. He's the good shepherd. He's not going to lead you astray. He's not going to want you to do something that's going to harm you. We know nothing. He knows it all. But resting in his word, that's why he gave it to us. Because this will never change 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now. I can attest to it's not going to change. And I hope everybody here just praises God for that. Mm-hmm. We, RBB Brains, speaking of myself, changes like water.
I read a, seen a quote last week. It was quite interesting. I don't know if I wrote it down. I wrote it down at home, but it was, with the word, I listen, and I listen, that I have sinned. It tells you, once you listen to God's word, it amplifies your sin. It tells you your sin. Sometimes we take the sin lightly. The more we learn of God's word, the more we say, ooh, that's pretty deep. The sin I did in the past, that's pretty deep. I used to push it off to the side. But when you learn the word, you learned your sin. It amplifies your sin. I wish I could get the right quote, but I got it written down at home, listening to a teacher.
Well, thank you, Alan. Thank you, Marty, for sharing that.
Yep, well, thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you. Anyone else before we move on to the next verse?
Just real quick, I just came across these verses. In 1 Timothy 6, 17 to 19, it's thinking about riches and all that, and it says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Well, that's the riches we have, right?
Thank you, Rich.
You're welcome. I was actually looking for the first meeting. I came across it.
Ryan, would you like to take the next verse, please?
Proverbs chapter 9, verses 9 and 10.
Yes.
Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding.
That's good. Thank you. That's some good verses there. Saying something. Anyone want to expand on that?
We walk by faith, not by sight. As we increase our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have never seen him, but we believe in him. We love him. He saves us and will save us at the very end when he calls us home.
Thank you, Al. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So that's very strong. That's a very direct message. What does that mean to anyone in here? Anyone want to expand on that, explain that, get into it a little bit, what it means to you?
As you're bringing up some of these verses with instruction, something that keeps coming to mind is that the instruction is always there. It's just whether or not you're going to receive it, if you're going to listen to it. So I think the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's saying, your instructions, Lord, are worth it, are worth me listening to and receiving and being attentive to. You're worthy of my attention with your instructions. But the instruction, whether it's a wise man, whether it's a foolish man, whatever the case, you even think of almost anything you could buy, it comes with instructions. How often do you buy something and read through the instruction manual that comes with it? So it's like those instructions are there. God's word is there. Are you saying, Lord, you're worthy for me to get in your word and listen to it?
That's good. Thank you, Pete. That's good.
When you look at verse 9, it talks about a wise man. And if he's already a wise man, he's already following the Lord. And then it goes on and it talks about, in verse 10, the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And what is God? God is the holy God. And what does he tell us in 1 Peter 1:15? Be ye holy, for I am holy. The more we get the instructions from the scripture, we get, hopefully, closer to him and walk in a way that is more holy, so that we honor him and glorify him. That's all I got.
It's really deep. That the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? So that's the starter to wisdom, that fear of the Lord, the respecting who he is. And the knowledge of the holy, like in the King James, it says the holy. But like, think about what that says, right? The holy. It's not holiness, it's the holy. So much so that the other modern translations say knowledge of the Holy One to try to make it clear. So the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And that's like, it's making me uncomfortable. How can you possibly know God so fully that you get to the point that you say, I have understanding? The infinite God, who's completely, and the word holy, right, is separate, set apart, other, so other, and having knowledge of the holy is understanding. We'll never get to a point in eternity where we go, I've got him figured out. Right? No. We'll never get there. We'll never get to the point that we go, I'm done. I figured out God. Now I have perfect understanding. Never.
I fully understand.
Yeah, we'll never get there. So to think that from this perspective, right, because it's easy to compare yourself to a kid or to an unbeliever and you say, I have understanding. But when you read this passage that the first step in wisdom is the fear of the Lord, and then the knowledge of him is understanding, with that perspective, we're all on the same side of eternity towards understanding. Like, you can't look at a little kid or a person who has a mental illness, or a person who maybe hasn't spent as much time in the scripture, and say, I know so much more, because you think about it, you're not even close to the level of understanding. We're all on that side of not even close. You moved a little millimeter. Like if you look at an ant walking across a room, and one ant is a little bit in front of the other ant, if they two compare themselves to each other, one ant could say, oh, I'm so far ahead of you. But when you see the size of the room, it's laughable. That ant far ahead, look at the room. And then to think that God is this infinite, huge, there's never a point that you say, understanding, this is a lifelong mission, an eternity-wide mission that should humble us and also propel us forward, that there is always more to dig in.
I think it was Professor Ironside that said, I've been preaching for 75 years, and I'm just scratching the surface.
Wow. That's deep. That's good. Thank you. Anyone else? Al, if you want to take Proverbs 15, verses 28 to 33, please.
Yes. Proverbs 15 chapters, verses 28 to 33. The heart of the righteous ponder how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. 29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. 30. Bright eyes gladden the heart. Good news puts fat on the bones. 31. He whose ear listens to the life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. 32. He who neglects discipline despises himself, but he who listens to reproof acquires understanding. 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and before honor comes humility. Mm.
Thank you. That's some good stuff. Who wants to comment on that? Or any thoughts on that from anyone? It's a lot of verses, and it's a lot of really good stuff, so we might want to start, well, I guess wherever your heart's touched from the Holy Spirit, I guess that's where you want to respond to. Either starting in the beginning or wherever the Lord leads you.
Just thinking on that verse 30 where it says, the light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones healthy. And you go back to Proverbs 3, 7 and 8, says, do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil, and it'll be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. And you think about when we get caught up in sin, what does it do? It just sucks the life out of you, right? You know, your body aches, your heart hurts, and you just, it's just an awful feeling. Everybody knows. And then until you restore that fellowship and get back to walking with the Lord, it's what it does is not good. And what is this is telling us, what this does is it's health to your bones and, you know, strength to your flesh, health to your bones. So it's good, right? It's like it's good medicine.
Spiritual medicine, yes. That's good, brother. Thank you. That's really good. Thank you for your input.
And I like how the NASB says it is a report, but good news puts fat on the bones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Good news puts fat on the bones. But what I like about it is, what's the good news in the New Testament? It's the gospel, mm-hmm. right? And that's your spiritual health, right? Mm-hmm. Like in these days, somebody who's skinny it tells you that, and this is true. Like if you're really skinny in that world, they're not eating.
Right.
They're starving to death.
Yeah.
In our world, what we have is everybody. I mean, I might as well speak for myself. Some of us are more overweight than others, right? But to think that the good news is that good meat on the bones. The gospel is good for you.
The word.
It's good for you. Eternally good.
Thank you, Ray.
I think in 31 there, he who listens to the life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. He who neglects discipline despises himself, but he who listens to reproof requires understanding. Mm. So if you walk with the wise, right. you can be wise, but if you walk with a fool, you'll be a fool.
Right. Yeah.
I just get from the beginning, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer. And that's kind of just reminds me of when you do answer God's word, you don't add to or take away from. You tell it like it is. Or sometimes we get, if we're trying to witness to somebody, we try to amplify what we're saying. And it's probably taken out of context of what God is saying. Mm. So you gotta look, that's how I kind of look at it. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer. So you gotta make sure when you're saying God's word that you say it rightly. I like the way Eric Broadbent, when he teaches, he always says, if you see something different, then what I say, come and talk to me. I love that.
Yeah.
You know, when you have a viewpoint that's a little different there, or to add to or take away from, you know, to clarify it a little bit.
So, in 32, what Rob said, so my version's just a little bit different, but... so he that refuses instruction... despises his own soul. So he hurts his own soul, right? Mm-hmm. But he that heareth reproof, correction, getteth understanding. So, you know, and that's instructions through the wisdom and understanding. So that's what we're supposed to do. And that's a good thing. And then 33, which is really key, the fear of the Lord is the instructions of wisdom and before honoring and humility is humility and before honor is humility. So our hearts need to be filled with the Lord's love and his word and to be in fellowship, submissive to him without our pride, and we will continue to get his instructions, understand his instructions, and be able to apply them to our life, our everyday living. And that will be pleasing to our Lord. Anyone else, before we go to the next verse, have any thoughts on the last verse that was read by Al?
On verse 31, the aspect of choosing in our lives. He whose ear listens to the life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise.
Yeah.
And if your ear is turned off and your heart, not that we're to trust it because it's very deceptive also, the heart, but when your spiritual ear listens to life-giving reproof it will dwell among the wise. And if you're seeking out God's will for your life, that just might be the answer he wants you to hear.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think the ear and the heart, I mean, I think my way of looking at it, or understanding it, I should say, is our heart always needs to be filled with his love. And when we're in his word and our heart is in his word, he knows our hearts before we do. And we can't go wrong when our heart's in his word. There's no, there's nothing better when our heart is in his word. And we, and then of course our ears are sharp, and keep, you know, sharp to his instructions then, because our heart is with him, and we're seeking him, we're wanting him. We're wanting his word, his wisdom, his instructions, his knowledge, his understanding. We're wanting it. So we hear it, as you said it in a different way, Al. Very good point. Points, actually. But that just, my version says a little different words, but meaning the same, and is sharing that with everyone, that's all.
And also in verse 28, the heart of the righteous ponders. Reflection, how to answer. But the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Mm. And what Rich was saying earlier this evening about the tongue, you know, once it leaves your mouth, it's hard to roll it back.
Yeah, there's no return.
And that's why, you know, to ponder and meditate, memorize promises that God gives us in his word, and you can't go wrong. And if they're meditating in your heart, it will reflect itself, you know, like we were talking about, children read you. People read you when you're out, wherever you are, grocery shopping, doing your yard work, taking a walk, whatever the case may be. They're watching all the time.
Thank you. Very good, pal. Thank you for sharing that, brother. Okay. Marty?
No, it's prayer time.
Oh, it's prayer time. See, I forgot again. Well, didn't you tell me we were going to 8:30?
I did not.
Are you sure? Was it you, Ray?
No.
It was you, Marty.
No.
I was trying to...
That was just Brian.
No, it wasn't Marty. Okay. Yes, it is prayer time. Thank you for the reminder. So we left off with Al. So... we have 5 more, and then I will have 4 other ones for next week for the ones that haven't, which is Laura. What's your son's name?
Logan.
Sorry. And Rich and Tom are the ones that they get verses today. So. Okay, so before we go any further, Pete, will you close us when it comes time for silent? It's just got to be before 8, please.
Hi. Stop the recording?
Yes.